Welcome to After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud, available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or Pandora. Or head on over to AmericaOutLoud.com and check out the thousands of articles and podcasts updated daily. And please share those on social media while you're there. AmericaOutLoud.com has some of the top conservative contributors from all over the country. And you guys definitely want to go to the website and check that out if you have not done so already. And as we said, while you're there, please share. We appreciate that a great deal. America Out Loud's facing the same shadow banning and social media censorship as many other conservatives have been facing over the past several years. So we appreciate that when you share the podcast or you share the articles. It does help out a great deal. You know, Rob, I want to talk about this past week where Joe Biden and Barack Obama had an appearance at the White House where Barack Obama completely overshadowed Joe Biden. Obama made his first visit to the White House since Joe had taken office. And if you remember, Barack Obama did not even want to run for president. Barack Obama took forever to endorse Joe Biden. I don't think he did until he was the last Democrat candidate alive. So it's clear that Barack Obama does not have much faith in his former vice president. But it was so interesting to see what happens when the puppet master pulling the strings shows up, because the puppet, which is Joe Biden, was completely ignored. Barack Obama completely overshadowed him, as we expected that he would. And to see the staff of the White House and people like Nancy Pelosi and Kamala Harris just fawning over Barack Obama, it was absolutely pathetic. And then come to find out, it was a super spreader event. You know, these Democrats claim they love wearing masks, but there was not a mask to be seen at the Barack Obama appearance. And then to make matters worse, Nancy Pelosi and several others have been infected with COVID now and are now positive. Which, if you go and attend a public setting after being around someone that has tested COVID positive, you're still supposed to wear a mask. Well, Kamala Harris went to the Ketanji Brown Jackson confirmation, and she did not wear a mask. Just the complete hypocrites that the Democrats are. We keep seeing it more and more each and every day, and the country has been a disaster under Joe Biden. Rob, what are your thoughts?
Andrew, I can't do anything but laugh. It's hilarious. First, you have Obama, the great return to the White House, the great return to the place that he called home for 8 years, the place where he got absolutely nothing done, anything of substance to help his Black constituents who helped put him over the top to get a second term. Did absolutely nothing for it. He didn't nominate a Black Supreme Court justice. He had two Black attorney generals. Nothing changed in the way of criminal justice. Nothing at all. But yet and still they, oh, he's back. Let's welcome the king back. It's like the return of the king. I don't know if you ever watched, Lord of the Rings. And the last in the trilogy was the return of the king coming back to his kingdom. So I guess that's what we had with Barack Obama returning to the White House. And as always, he sucked up all the oxygen out of the room. I mean, can you blame those people for not wanting to be around him compared to decrepit, old, white man, liberal Joe, whom the Democrat Party have said, we don't need an old white man leading the party, but yet and still, that's what they got. An old, decrepit white man who doesn't know if he's going or coming. Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with old, decrepit white men. But according to the Democrats, there is. So when the colored Black man came back to the White House, they just like lost all their senses. He even joked about Biden being the vice president. Now, of course, he took it back, but that was a jab at Biden because he knows, just like we know, that Biden is doing a miserable job. And I'm sure he's talking to Susan Rice about it and saying, oh my God, I said this guy, never underestimate him because he has the ability to F things up, which is what he's doing. So I guess Barack Obama came back so that people could remember what was, what could have been. Now, some would like to say that his return is really an indication that he's running things. It wants to give people that hope that, look, I'm in control. Just hold on to my coattail, as he said once before, and we will steer you through this. But it ain't happening because Obama didn't know what he was doing during those 8 years. Because what did he give us? Obamacare, which is a disaster, a complete disaster. Premiums went up. People had to pay more, and you couldn't keep your doctors, as he said that you could. Now, the other thing to keep in mind with this whole thing with Obama returning to the kingdom, the return of the king, is that he's now saying that this whole Ukrainian thing, that he saw it coming, he tried to prevent it, and that he wanted to do all these other great things to bolster Ukraine's defenses. However, you have the liberal universe Twitterville coming out and saying, oh no, you did nothing. You didn't do anything. So of course, Barack Obama had to step back and say, well, you know, I tried. No, you didn't try anything. And then the other thing that I find hilarious about the return of the king is after they had introduced Obama and they did the ceremonial thing, the jump, hip, and a scop hop for Obamacare and how great it is, we want more people on it, is that when he was done and he decided to mingle with the commoners, they all flocked to him, leaving Joe Biden out wandering around. Did you see that, Andrew?
I did see that.
It was embarrassing. You have this old decrepit man wandering around lost, like, what about me? This is my party. This is my kingdom. Why aren't the people talking to me? And Obama, there he was, yakking it up. If I could show you guys a video, I would, but I would encourage you to go on YouTube because you know it's on YouTube. Obama is yakking it up. He's smiling, his million-dollar smile, his teeth. And those teeth have been fixed, you know, because he was a smoker and he probably still is. So they had to whiten his teeth. There's no way his teeth look like chiclets the gum. As white as they are. Obama was a smoker. Now, I know many people didn't know about it, and he was smoking in the White House, but they didn't want you to see it because, of course, you were saying, teaching the birchers of don't smoke, don't do this, but he was a smoker. And I'm sure every now and then he probably gets a little ciggy and go on the outside and smoke. Don't be fooled. That's, and when I say smoke, I don't know if he's doing the marijuana, you know. Maybe he is, maybe he isn't, I don't know, since they're making it legal. Well, he did talk about it in his book. But anyway, back to my story. So there you have the king with his subjects, and they're all coming around. They're talking to him and shaking his hand, flesh meeting flesh by the cheek, doing little kisses, little pleasantries, and they're just all into it. And there you have Joe wondering, what about me? And then Andrew, at one point, he actually put his hand, that's Joe it is, put his hand on Obama's shoulder as if though to say, could I have a word with you? And do you think Obama turned around to listen? Absolutely not. It was almost as if though he was saying, you know, screw you, get back. I don't have time for this. Now, here's the significance of this, because if I were in the middle of a group of people having a conversation, a tete-a-tete, so to speak, and if I felt a hand on my shoulder from behind, I would turn to see whose hand it is and what they're doing. Clearly, it's an indication that I'm trying to get your attention. I mean, as plain as that. I mean, think about it, Andrew. If I were to walk up behind you and you're talking, and if I were to place my hand on your shoulder with a light squeeze, would you not think to turn around to say, hey, do I need to deck this person or are they trying to get my attention? It's common sense, but Obama did neither. He kept talking to his subjects. He ignored Biden the entire time. At no point did he acknowledge Biden's presence, not at all. You could look at the expression on Biden's face. He was trying to say something. Now, he probably forgot what he was going to say because he's so old and decrepit. But Obama never acknowledged him. He ignored him. He threw shade on him. He dismissed him. He said that you're not significant. I am here with my subjects. Go away. And that's how it ended. At no point did he acknowledge Joe. And in the end, the next day, everyone said, wow, what kind of shade is that? So, of course, Barack Obama tried to clean it up by saying, oh, Joe is the best president. He's doing a great job. That was it. That's all the media needed for confirmation. That, you see, what you saw is not really what you saw. Don't believe your eyes. Believe your eyes. Obama dissed Biden. Obama said, get back, Jack. You don't belong here. This is my world, and you're just a squirrel trying to get a nut. That was it. That was it. The media isn't talking about it. They're hoping that you don't talk about it, but we're going to talk about it, okay? We're going to speak truth to power because we know that they don't want you to focus on that. They want you to think that there is a brohood that's going on. These are bros. Uh-uh. Obama does not like Joe. He never did. He only selected him as his VP for credibility. You know, the Democrats say we don't need the old white man, but when they need credibility, bring in the old white man. That's the only reason why. But other than that, he did not care for Joe. Joe was loose lips. Joe could not think outside the box. For the past 30 or 40 years, Joe knew nothing about foreign affairs, and he was wrong on every decision. Per Secretary of, I think it was Defense, Robert Gates, he said this. Okay, now the media has tried to clean it up. They don't want you to know that, but he said it. So, of course, when Obama came back to his kingdom, when the king returned, he saw the somewhat frail new king, who's supposed to be the new king, and just dismissed him. And said, hey, it's my party. I am back. Let's get down. And that's exactly what they did. So that little Twitter explanation of saying, oh, no, Joe is the best person. No, he only said that after he looked at it and say, okay, you know, I guess I'll send something out so that people will think that, you know, we're okay. But really, you know, it was all about me. And to that effect, it turned into a super spreader. People got COVID. Nancy Pelosi got it. Merrick Garland got it. There was another, I think, Biden's Secretary of Commerce got COVID. Now, we wish them well. I'm saying that out loud. Privately, I'm saying something else about Nancy Pelosi, but you don't need to know what I'm saying about her. But, I mean, miss, break all the rules. Rules for thee, not for me. I can get my hair done during the height of COVID and don't say anything about it. And the media just dances right over it. I'm not going to dance over this. This woman got COVID because COVID is just here to stay. And she's had every kind of booster. And not only that, Andrew, she was next to Obama and Biden. They were spitting on each other, hugging and kissing. But according to Jen Psaki, oh, don't worry about that. Biden is okay. Yeah, I'm surprised that Biden hasn't gotten COVID. To be honest with you, I'm not wishing it on him, but I am surprised. So he's obviously taking monoclonal so that he won't get it. Now, we already know that they're giving him vitamin B shots because after the appearance with Obama and Joe appeared decrepit and old and lost and out of it, the next day they had him, I think, in Iowa or someplace, and they had given him a shot, a vitamin B shot, or like just really doped him up on caffeine. And he was yelling and shouting, trying to show, oh, I've got the energy also. But later on that day, Andrew, the energy level went down and he was back to old decrepit Joe, the old decrepit Joe that who he really is, that everyone sees him as being. But man, you can't, last week was, you can't make that kind of stuff up with the king returning and then just dismissing Joe and taking over the king's subjects. I've always said that Barack Obama was arrogant, and that proved it. And although the media doesn't want to, you know, talk about it, they want to pretend as if, oh, these are old bros. No, believe your eyes. Believe your eyes. Obama stole the show. They were all glad that he had returned. They were hoping probably, oh, we wish you were here and not Joe. Joe was a president. But Andrew, we got to remember, Joe did the exact same thing when he went overseas. During each visit overseas, the first visit he did it when he was leading from behind. Canada was out front. The Prime Minister Boris Johnson was out front when they were going to some meeting. And there was Joe walking from behind. What an embarrassment. His recent trip to meet the NATO leaders, walking from behind as opposed to out front. Now, my boy Donald Trump, when he went overseas, you knew that he was there. And he was like, get back, America has arrived. And rightfully so. If we're going to foot the bill for these people, if we're going to protect them, we're going to be out front. Ain't no second kid for me. No, I'm out front and center because I'm the one that's holding this stuff together. I'm the one footing the bills. I'm the one paying your bill. I'm the one who's keeping people from coming in and invading your country. Unfortunately, we didn't have that with Joe. And that's the reason why Ukraine was invaded. And for all you people that are out there saying, well, Trump, he's friends with Putin. Well, if that's the case, why didn't Putin just invade Ukraine when Trump was in office? It would have been a slam dunk deal. And the war still wouldn't be going on. Unfortunately, it is going on. And although Obama is saying, oh, things would have been different, give me a break. Look at what happened in Syria. You got your butt kicked in Syria with your imaginary red sign in the red line in the sand. Yeah, right. Give me a break. And now you're coming back with all this pomp and circumstance. I'm like, oh, I'm here. I've arrived. And the people fell for it. And poor Joe was left out in the cold. But they did leave something behind, which was the COVID, the super spreader. Where's Dr. Fauci talking about the super spreader? The many times he talked about it when Trump ever had a gathering. And at the time Trump had his gathering, there were no vaccines. That's the funny thing. They had vaccines, Andrew. And these people have been triple vaxxed, double vaxxed, quadruple vaxxed, and they still got COVID. They still got it. Jen Psaki is what, on her fifth round of COVID? It's insane, Andrew. It is utterly insane. Literally, I said utterly, I meant literally insane. That COVID is just like all over these people. They're super spreading this thing. And the only reason why they're telling us that they had it is because they know that these people usually would be out front speaking, but they can't be. Now, do you think that if Nancy went out front talking all the time, that they would have even told us that she had COVID? Absolutely not. They would have waited until it was over or toward the end and say, oh, by the way, the Speaker of the House had COVID. She's better now. She's kicked it. But they had to tell us in advance because they knew that we wouldn't be seeing these people out front spinning and talking lies, Andrew, plain and simple.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I'd be curious to know, like you said, what Nancy Pelosi is being treated with for her COVID at her advanced age. You would think she's being given some monoclonal antibodies or something. It would be nice to know, because it'd be nice to know what these politicians are getting that many American citizens do not have the option of when they get COVID. If you're looking for better sleep, focus, and energy yourself, you should check out Healthy Cell, the leading innovator of nutritional supplements for cell health. Healthy Cell vitamins work at the cellular level to boost immune health, sleep better, focus deeper, and stay younger longer. Absorb a healthier lifestyle with Healthy Cell's pill-free vitamins. And you can go to healthycell.com and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of any product. Rob and I have been taking Healthy Cell. We highly recommend it. I like it so much. My girlfriend's taking it as well. So it's a great gift for yourself or a loved one. Try out Healthy Cell. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD to save 20% off your first order. We'll be back with more After Dark with Robin.
Because of COVID-19, many Americans worry about their health 4 times a day. That's 112 times per month. But by simply keeping our immune system strong, we can stay healthy and put our worries at ease. One little known way to do this is by taking AC11, a patented supplement from a plant in the Amazon rainforest. Studied for over 20 years and backed by over 40 scientific peer-reviewed studies, taking AC11 has been proven to extend the life of immune cells called leukocytes, allowing you to boost immunity naturally. Go to healthycell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of AC11. That's healthycell.com, HEALTHYCELL, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off. In today's world, there's no escaping the headlines filled with warnings about emerging viruses and dangerous superbugs. Genesis is the only technology that safely and effectively obliterates harmful pathogens both in the air and on surfaces. Genesis plus HOCL neutralize these threats to your environment in just seconds. Find out more about this amazing technology at genesisfogger.com/outloud for a 15% discount. With Genesis, you'll be prepared for what's next.
And we're back. And I was just having a jolly good time talking about the King returns to the White House. that king being Obama. Now, I don't view him as being a king. I think that a lot of people that admire him sees him as being a king or the next great coming. As far as I'm concerned, the guy is a miserable disaster, but he has a different thought of himself, and rightfully so. He's entitled to that. And we know that the left, they're trying to make him the first billionaire president, although we have President Trump, whom they will say he's a billionaire when they want to rib him and say, oh, we got to take all this money. Then they'll say he's not a billionaire when they will say, oh, he's broke. Go figure. And this is the mainstream media, I might add, who the other day, did you guys see, they had a convention of sorts, I think at some university, and they had the president of the Atlantic magazine, they did a symposium, and two college students got up and checked her over the Hunter Biden story and how the media tried to shut it down. And she came out and she said that she really didn't think that the Hunter Biden story was a story. I'm going to play the tape for you guys. Here, run it.
2020, you wrote, those who live outside the Fox News bubble do not, of course, need to learn any of the stuff about Hunter Biden, referring to his laptop, of course. A poll later after that found that if voters knew about the content of the laptop, 16% of Joe Biden voters would have acted differently. Do you think the media acted inappropriately when they instantly dismissed Hunter Biden's laptop as Russian disinformation?
My problem with Hunter Biden's laptop is, I think, totally irrelevant. I mean, it's not whether it's disinformation or, I mean, I don't think the Hunter Biden's business relationships have anything to do with who should be president of the United States. So I don't find it to be interesting.
There you go. This is supposed to be a journalist who is the overseer of the news and makes certain that we get information, and she puts it out there. But when it came to the Hunter Biden story, she said, it wasn't news. And I think it was David Axelrod, who was a moderator. He sat there and didn't even question her. My follow-up to her would have been, so that wasn't news, but all the stories about Donald Trump's children that we all know was a lie, you felt that that was news and you had to write all these long, lengthy articles about it? He didn't follow up. He didn't even ask her that. He just sat there when this student put this to her. She, a seasoned journalist, will wanna be, and that was her response. She didn't think it was news. She thought it had nothing to do with the presidency. Meanwhile, look at all the stories we're hearing about Donald Trump. Oh, he did this. Oh, it's Watergate. Even now that he's not in the White House, they're still talking about it. And they're using Jan 6 as a ruse to try to stop him from running again in 2024. But in her opinion, oh, that wasn't news, Hunter Biden. And then the next day during the symposium, Atlantic Journal-posium, another student came up and asked, I think it was a CNN so-called journalist, about CNN's deceptive practices and covering Hunter Biden and covering the Russia collusion. You guys said that this is all misinformation, but it turns out that it was the truth. What is your response? Brian Stelter was the guest during that symposium. And what did he say? Oh, well, I've heard about this, and it's nothing but from the right. It's nothing but right-wing rhetoric, and I've heard about it before. But he didn't answer the question. He blatantly lied to us and told us what you're seeing and hearing is not truth. Don't believe it. I hope that when they complete the takeover of CNN, that he's fired, and everyone else in that stable of wannabe journalists, they should fire them all. Run the tape with Brian Stelter.
Push the Russian collusion hoax, they push the Jussie Smollett hoax, they smear Justice Kavanaugh as a rapist, and they also smeared Nick Sandman as a white supremacist, and yes, they dismiss the Hunter Biden laptop affair as pure Russian disinformation. With mainstream corporate journalists becoming little more than apologists and cheerleaders for the regime, is it time to finally declare that the canon of journalistic ethics is dead or no longer operative? All the mistakes of the mainstream media and CNN in particular seem to magically all go in one direction. Are we expected to believe that this is all just some sort of random coincidence, or is there something else behind it?
It's too bad. It's time for lunch.
You have 30 seconds.
No, I mean, there's a clock that says 30 seconds. But I think my honest answer to you, and I'll come over and talk in more detail after this, is that I think you're describing a different channel than the one that I watch. But I understand that that is a popular right-wing narrative about CNN.
You see, he obfuscated right over it, which is what the media has been doing nonstop for the past 12 years, I want to say, obfuscated. They obfuscated about Obama going to the White House when clearly he ignored Biden. But they're telling you, don't believe your eyes. That's not what it was. Biden, he knew what he was doing. He was just there. He wanted people, they hadn't seen Obama in a long time. So he was okay with them talking to my sub just talking to Obama. Do you think Obama would have done the same thing? Absolutely not. And then someone said, well, you got to realize that Joe Biden hasn't invited Obama back to the White House since he left. And you know that's true because they haven't even done, Andrew, remember, usually they would do a picture with all the presidents. They haven't even done that. No, they would probably lie and say, well, it's because of COVID restrictions. Well, at this little shing-ding that they had, look at the people who got COVID, including Nancy Pelosi. Obama had not been invited back to the White House, probably because Jill didn't want Michelle back at the White House. Jill didn't want Biden's term overshadowed by Obama, which is what happened when he returned. That's the reason why he hasn't been back to the White House. And of course, Obama could care less about going back to the White House. He doesn't need the White House to keep his name out there. The media is going to do that. The same media that lied to these two cub reporters in saying Hunter Biden's story is nothing. And then Brian Stelter saying, oh, come on. That's right-wing rhetoric. They're always accusing us of doing something. They're not accusing you. It's the truth. You guys have failed as far as reporting the news. The same way you have failed in covering Obama returning to the White House and overshadowing Joe Biden. You guys have failed and you have consistently failed. Every time you look at these guys, whenever they put something out there, it's a spin. We're leading up to the 2022 elections. They're going to spin again. It's nothing but spin, spin, spin. Look at how they were spinning, or they spent the entire time with Ketanji Brown Jackson, who's now an associate of the Supreme Court. But let them report it. She is the Supreme Court. She's a Chief Justice. And as soon as she gets on the bench, I think it's going to be this summer, Andrew, when Justice Breyer, who was forced out, let's just be honest, he was forced out. He did not want to leave. The guy's mind is as sharp as it want to be. And he's in his 80s. He's much older than Joe, who's old and decrepit. When he came out, when Joe came out and said that Justice Breyer was retiring, they were standing side by side. You could tell who was in charge and who wasn't. You could tell who had all their faculties and who didn't. Justice Breyer, Stephen Breyer, had all of his faculties. Joe Biden didn't. So now that he's been forced out to make way for this mediocre Black justice woman, whom everyone is saying, oh, she's the greatest in sliced bread. What's so great about her? She doesn't even know she's a woman or not. And we've spoken about this on our show. She can't define a woman, but yet and still she's the greatest. And she's going to go on the court, Andrew, and she's going to really sock it to them. And she's going to, with her opinions, and she's going to tell it like it is. She's an associate justice. She has to take a backseat to the others. But of course, the media, as they always do, they'll make it seem as if though that she's the focal point. She's really important, that she needs to hear these cases. Yeah, but what about Justice Roberts? He's the Chief Justice. Doesn't that matter? He ranks over an associate justice. What about all the other justices that have been there before her, like Clarence Thomas, a strong Black man? Don't any of you find it interesting how they're trying to write him out of history? They're trying to get him to step down, to recuse himself from this case, from that case, with, oh, well, his wife has an opinion about the election. And she's not a justice. Ruth Bader Ginsburg had an opinion, which was completely out of place, and she had to come out and apologize. I didn't see you guys wanted her to recuse herself. But see, they want him out because they want her to shine. And Black people don't see it. Once again, here is the war on Black men. Now, before Biden came into office, you were always, oh, the Black man can't this. The Black man's always oppressed. And now let's kick him out. We don't have any need for the Black man because the Black men woke up and they voted for Trump. They don't like that. They don't like the fact that a Black man, as Tim Scott said, is a free thinker. Remember Joy Reid, a fake or PMS NBC, Joy Reid, the homophobe who had a blog whereby she attacked homosexuals. Joy Reid said that Clarence Thomas, he's a patina of diversity and she doesn't like him simply because he is a free thinking Black man, which we would want that. But of course, Democrats don't like that. They've never liked that going all the way back to slavery and after slavery. If you don't think the way they think, they don't like you.
Yeah.
They don't like Clarence.
Did you get a chance to read what Tim Scott said about Joy Reid? I mean, that was a great article. I recommend anyone goes and looks it up. Tim Scott basically giving his thoughts on people like Joy Reid who want to put him in a box and how he's a free thinker and how they're trying to ixnay that in the Black community. And liberal Democrats do not want the Black community thinking for themselves.
Not at all. They want them to have groupthink, to think the way they want them to think, which is what she pretty much was saying about Tim Scott. And when he said that, and he also said, you know, having Ketanji Brown on the court, okay, she's a Black woman, I'm proud of that. Okay, so am I. I'm okay with that, but I don't like her jurisprudence. There could have been other people. Justice Childs, whom Jim Clyburn wanted on the court, Michelle Childs, a Black woman. Had he nominated her, you would have had a lot of Republicans supporting her. And not supporting her because she's a Black woman, but supporting her because of her qualifications. But this thing, and I don't mean that disparagingly, and I say that because she doesn't know if she's a woman or a man. And of course, if you don't get it right, the left will attack you. So this Ketanji Brown, it's really sad that she doesn't know the definition of a woman. She has two kids and a husband. And if she has not been able to figure that out, by God, what the heck is she doing? But she didn't want to give the definition because she didn't want to upset not even a percentage of the population, these transgenders who are trying to be women. And they're not. You're a trans. It means that you're going from one thing to the other, but you're not exactly what you think you're going to. I don't care if you mutilate your sexual organs. I don't care. You're not a woman. You don't have two X chromosomes. But she didn't want to say what a woman was because she didn't want to offend them. And you think that we should be proud of her, her jurisprudence coming onto the court? Absolutely not. Because if she can't stand up to them, she'll be beholden to every lobbyist group when it's time to render a decision on an important case. And one of those decisions that could possibly come up before her is women in sports. How will she rule? How will she decide? Will she say it's okay for men to be in women's sports? All she had to do was give the definition by saying, if she didn't want to say an adult female, she should have just said, I'm a woman, and that's it. But she couldn't. She was trying to be careful with how she said it, not knowing that she really stepped into it. Now, imagine, Andrew, if you will, had this been a Trump appointee and that person had been given the same question and the person said, a woman is me. Or had it been a man, he would have said, a woman is my wife. The media would have lambasted them, would have attacked them and said, oh, how dare they? And this is the new age and you got to do this and that. For speaking the truth, the media would have attacked them. The media, as in CNN, Brian Stelter, this woman, Applebaum, that's her name, over the Atlantic, would have just attacked the person for saying that, for speaking the truth. But when you speak lies, they're okay with that because in their view, that's the real story, the lies, and they want you to believe a lie. So back to this woman on the court, or whatever she wants to call herself, a thing, or I mean, what? How does she identify? No one's ever asked her. I would have said, well, how do you identify yourself? That would have been a perfect question, Andrew. So you don't know, you can't define a woman. Would you define yourself as a woman? Wow, Marsha Blackburn should have come back and said, would you define yourself as a woman or your mother or your daughters or your sisters or your aunts? Or would you define a woman as being your uncles and your dad? Wow, someone's gonna ask her that question when she goes out and starts speaking, and you know that she will. Although she hasn't just got put on the court, everyone's going to want her to speak. Oh, let's get her to speak. All this. For what? What does she have to say? And it will forever stay in my mind that she could not define a woman. But they're telling Black women, as Biden said the other day, he and Kamala, this is a historic moment. And of course, Kamala started laughing, that insidious laugh. This is a historic moment that we have Ketanji. I'm like, folks, she ain't the best thing since sliced bread. We have Clarence Thomas on the court, who many of you want off the courts now.
You're absolutely right. But one thing that I will say that I was happy to see was obviously we know Murkowski, Susan Collins, and Mitt Romney are all worthless. But other than those three, I believe all the GOP members did not vote to put her through. So I'm very happy that it was not a bipartisan vote in the sense that she did not get a lot of votes from Republicans in the Senate. Just the normal rhinos pretty much voted for her. So I was happy to see them stick by and not vote for her in big numbers.
I was happy also, but of course the way the media will spin it is that, oh, it's bipartisan. It was bipartisan. And that the true Republicans that really counted, they saw through all of this and they voted for her. No, they didn't. Murkowski only voted for her to save face. Okay. She's afraid of the mob. Susan Collins, I mean, when she's giving her vote, she usually tries to explain it and say, oh, well, you know, this is the reason why, blah, 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 blah. But at the end of the day, no, you should not have voted for her. Because if you didn't vote for her for the federal court, why would you vote for her for the Supreme Court? Mitt Romney. Now, we've spoken about Mitt Romney before. I think the issue with Mitt Romney, and please don't take this out of context, I say this to our listeners, but I do a lot of research on these characters. And why are they doing what they're doing? Why are they changing positions? And in my research, and I could be wrong, you can go do your own independent research also, I discovered that one of Romney's sons adopted two children of color. I think one is Black and one might be Hispanic. So in doing so, he now feels that he can connect to the Black community and the Hispanic community by virtue of having a Black and Hispanic grandchild. Now, it is meaningless. That does not give you a connection to the community, so to speak, or you understand what the community goes through. But in his mind, he thinks that he does. That is the reason why he was out marching during the Black Lives Matter rally, so that he could tell his grandchild, you see, this is what grandpa did. And I hate to see it. I think a little bit of that happens with Amy Coney Barrett. When she starts giving her decisions, you look at how she deliberates and her thought process, because she has a Black daughter. And as I've said before, I'm sure that she loves his daughter. I'm sure that Romney loves his grandchildren. But if you're doing it for the reason, adopting these kids, to think that I want a connection there, I want to show that I can be the parent, you're doing it for the wrong reason. You have to do it for love. Not to for some type of virtue signaling and putting a sign just for show. We know that a lot of folks in Hollywood, look at Madonna, she's done it. Sandra Bullock has done it. There was another entertainer who's done it, and I think that she should not have done it because she's confusing the kids. I can't think of her name, it escapes me. But anyway, you get the point that I'm making. If you're doing it for any other reason other than love, you should not be doing it. If you're doing it to make a point, you should not be doing it because it does not work. You should still hold true to your same convictions. Mitt Romney is a rhino. He's a confused rhino. Get rid of him. He does not need to be there. Plain and simple, Andrew.
Yeah, well said. You guys are tuned in to After Dark with Rob and Andrew, available at America Out Loud via iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or download the America Out Loud app for free to keep track of all the great shows. We'll be back with more After Dark with Rob and Andrew.
You've been in that situation. The person next to you is sniffling, or worse yet, coughing. Flu, cold, and coronaviruses are everywhere. Wouldn't it be great if you had a way to reduce these threats with an invisible mask as an additional layer of protection? Sold by hundreds of pharmacists and medical doctors, our American-made povidone iodine antiviral nasal spray, Cofix RX, lasts for hours deactivating viruses and germs while protecting you from airborne pathogens that make us sick. America Out Loud listeners get 20% off. Use Cofix RX while in large groups, while traveling, or for any other type of high-risk situation as an additional layer of protection to help reduce your likelihood of catching a cold, the flu, or SARS-CoV-2 viruses. Right now, America Out Loud listeners get 20% off of all orders. Click our banner ad on AmericaOutLoud.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
And folks, we are back again for the last 15 minutes of the show or 20 minutes, whatever it might be. And of course, we're going to continue updating you on what happened the previous week, because a lot of stuff happened. Now, one thing I want to throw out there before I forget, this is a bit on the entertainment industry, Will Smith, the Oscars just rendered their verdict, and they're saying that he's been banned from the Oscars for 10 years. So he's 53 now, so he can't go back to the Oscars until he's 63. A lot of people are saying that, oh my God, that was too harsh. And some are saying that it wasn't harsh enough. Here's my take on it. I don't give a rat's patootie, okay? Because no one's watching the Oscars, really. The only people that are watching it are the people that are at the Oscars and their families. Now, next year, it might have a larger audience, thanks to Will Smith. So I think that the Oscars should probably give him something for helping him, helping them, you know, probably boost their ratings during next year's Oscars, because you got to realize that because he won the Oscar for Best Actor, he would normally present the following year. Unfortunately, he can't do it. So, you know, ban him for 10 years, 20 years, I really don't care. He got to keep his Oscars. He's got all that money. And I hear that people are saying, oh, this slap is hurting his wallet. We're hurting his wallet for future earnings. But the dude is worth, I think, $350 million. So unless he goes into a downward spiral, Andrew, and starts drinking and just throwing away money at strip clubs, I think Will will be okay for the most part. I think he just needs to get his head checked on. And in my own humble opinion, I am not a psychologist or a psychiatrist, I would dump that wife of his. Because when you look at the history, she has been nothing but a distraction and nothing but she hasn't been his helpmate, in my view. I don't know what's going on inside of that marriage. I'm on the outside looking in. And I think they've tried to give us a glimpse of their marriage, saying that, you know, they have an open marriage. I don't know. I don't care. But that's just my two cents on it. What do you say, Andrew?
Yeah, I'd say it's very bizarre, the relationship between Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith. It's clear that him defending her has cost himself a lot as far as his reputation goes. It'll be interesting to see next time he has a big blockbuster movie come out, to see if it still gets the same kind of hype that his movies normally do, with him having such a stain on his reputation after this incident. 10 years to not be able to attend the Academy Awards seems like a fair punishment to Will Smith. As far as Jada Pinkett Smith goes, honestly, I've never even really seen this woman outside of being with Will Smith. I'm told she's an actress. I've never seen any of her movies. I think she's famous basically for being Will Smith's wife, and she basically owes her career to him. So, yeah, it sounds like he should get rid of her because she's causing him a lot of problems. Personally, I'd get rid of any woman that cheated on me and then went and told the world about it. That's just humiliating for Will Smith. And I think he should get rid of Jada Pinkett.
Yeah, she was an actress in her own right, actually, Andrew. She starred in, I think it was a series, A Different World, that was created by Bill Cosby. And at the time, I think I was in high school, she was good. I mean, she had a little following. She was always a little whippersnapper. And then she was in the movie Jason's Lyrics and Set It Off. But she never reached that level of entertainment or notoriety as Will Smith. Will Smith had to move the show Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. He did the rapping, and he set himself aside because his raps were always clean. And of course, people made fun of him and called him corny. See, this is what's interesting, because this is all within the Black community, and people who the consumers of rap have mainly been young white men. So Blacks would make fun of Will because he didn't curse and talk about killing people in his rap. No, think about this. Here you have a clean guy coming out, clean kid at the time, rapping, and it's clean. Then you have all these other rappers, NWA, that are talking about using the N-word and F the police, and we're going to do this. And they got down with that. What is wrong with the community? Think about it. You have one guy who's coming out clean cut. You got these thugs over here talking about kill them and shoot them up. And then they're being killed and shoot them up, shot up. Think of Biggie Small. Think of Tupac. Will Smith still has his life, worth $350 million. They made fun of him. Now, he can't be defined by that one slap, although I thought it was hilarious amongst other things, but we can't define him by that. But you got to say, he did a pretty good job as far as charting the direction of his career. But yet still, Black people viewed him as being, oh, he's soft, he's this, as compared to toxic masculinity that the left is talking about. Look at the oxymoron here, people. Look at it. These same white liberals that are talking to you about toxic masculinity poo-pooed on Will Smith because his raps weren't tight enough into the world of ghettoism. So all these years, they've made fun of him. Yet still, look at his bank account. So when he met Jada, I think on the set of his show, Fresh Prince, he apparently saw a connection and fell in love with her. But according to published reports, she didn't want him. Now, these stories are just now coming out. She didn't want to marry him. And now full circle, look at what happened. Look at what happened. Look at what the so-called Black woman did to the Black man. I'm not going there. I'm just putting it out there for you to look at. Because if you look at the world as a whole, I like to look at things contextually as to what's happening and the images and the messages that they're putting out there. Look at the message about Ketanji Brown Jackson. Oh, she's a strong Black woman. Oh, and she's this. Oh, and she's that. And this and that, blah, 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 blah. Whereas Clarence Thomas has been on the course for almost 30-something years. Black people are yet to give him his due. You go to the African American Museum in DC, Smithsonian Museum, barely a footnote about him. Now, within the few months that are coming, they will have an entire wing devoted to Ketanji Brown Jackson. And for what? She just got on the courts. You go to that museum, you'll have a whole wing devoted to rap and what they're doing. And they probably have a little small segment on Will Smith, but they might increase it now that he's, you know, slapped Chris Rock. But look at the messages that they're sending out there to you, to Black people. Look at the messages. This is supposed to be the party that's supposed to be giving you your freedom. They want you to have all this stuff. But the only time they want you to have it is when you're acting out. That's the only time they want you to have it. They have Ketanji putting her out there now because she's, like I said, she's just breaking the walls in the Supreme Court and she's this and she's that. Whereas Clarence Thomas has been doing it for almost 3 decades. No one wants to say anything about him. They look the other way, but she's getting all of the attention, pitting Black men against Black women. Oh, and these Black women, they're so good. Well, what happened to Jada Smith? What did she do with Will Smith? Again, I like to just look at things contextually, full circle, looking at the dots. You can't raise up one by tearing down another. Go figure that one out. Yeah. But no one is paying attention to that, Andrew.
Yeah, wouldn't it have been nice and refreshing if Ketanji Brown, after being confirmed to the Supreme Court, came up and said, I want to thank Justice Clarence Thomas for going through what Joe Biden put him through to get onto the Supreme Court and open up these doors for me in the first place. But instead, she'll say nothing like that. Who knows if she'll even give Clarence Thomas any credit whatsoever for having to go through what he did and making things so much easier for Ketanji Brown, because people pointed out what they did to Clarence Thomas was wrong. And here she had pretty much a breeze with her confirmation hearing. I think she owes a great deal of gratitude towards Clarence Thomas, whether she realizes it or not.
Andrew, thank you for saying that, because I've been thinking about doing a show on Clarence Thomas, but you're so spot on. She owes him a great deal of gratitude because he took the shots, the swords, the attacks that she didn't take. And I know that there are many people that are out there saying, oh, she had to answer those questions by those white men. And they were questioning her, you know, what she knew and what she didn't know. It's like, are you serious? Were you guys watching the same hearing? What they were asking her was extremely tame and are questions that you should ask a nominee about her record. And you're freaking out over that. And the record that could affect you and your children over child pornography and pedophiles And you're saying that that was very hard. And how many times have Black women had to sit in front of people that were unqualified who were asking them questions? How many times have I had to sit in front of people who weren't qualified but thought that they were qualified? And then I had to try and save face for them by exiting them from the interview because I knew you don't even know what's going on here, but you think you do. But see, people don't think in those terms. They're following the media, as we said earlier on. They're allowing the media to speak for them and to think for them. So where is the level of gratitude from her for Clarence Thomas? She has did not yet mention his name. Through all of her appearances, you would have thought she would have said, and you know, and I also have to remember Clarence Thomas who came before me. Not a word. As a Black person, you would think she would have said it to recognize there is another Black man, another Black individual on the courts. And then we're supposed to just say, oh, hooray, hooray. Like I said, don't get me wrong. She's on the court. Okay, fine. I respect that. But her Jewish prudence, I question. And remember, Andrew, I had said earlier on that I'm like, you know, I'm going to give her a chance. Maybe she will surprise us. Maybe she will get on the court and she will go completely different. Remember, I said that. But the moment that question was put to her about a woman, I'm like, nope, she's a radical. Sorry I ever thought to give her a chance. But see, I can do that. I can look at a person and say, let's give them a chance. But she messed it up because she couldn't answer a basic question. And as you just pointed out, Andrew, and rightfully so, you would think that she would give show a little gratitude to Clarence Thomas, who's been on the course all these years doing it by himself, who's endured the attacks. And one of the most severe attacks came from President Biden when he tried to block him from being on the court. And Biden has tried to block so many other Black people, Janice Rogers Brown. But we're supposed to forget all that. Black people are supposed to forget it because the media tells you there's nothing here to see. Look at what we're telling you because we have your best interest, but yet still you keep telling them you will overcome one day. We gave you Kamala Harris, who's a complete disaster in her role. She can't get it together. Everyone knows it. Let's not kid ourselves. Everyone knows she's a disaster. She was only put on the ticket because she's a minority. And to me, that is embarrassing. She wasn't put on the ticket for what she brought to the ticket as far as intellectual abilities or accomplishments. She was put on the ticket because she is a Black woman. Because remember, she was running for the presidency. And then she backed out before the first primary because she knew that she wasn't going to even poll and it would have been humiliating. So she steps aside and goes, oh, well, they're not ready for a woman and definitely not ready for a Black woman. Well, maybe they weren't because maybe you weren't the right one. So what does Joe do? I guess Obama talked to him and said, I'll put her on the ticket. Jill doesn't like it, of course. And we spoke about that. We've spoken about it. She did not like it. So she's on the ticket, a complete failure, just like Joe. And as we said in one of our shows, be careful what you wish for. Because if Joe goes, she steps up. If she steps up, it's going to be nothing but a year of cackling and laughing and mean mugs and the media writing, oh, they don't like her because she's Black. No. Never mind the fact that the media themselves have come out and said that she's not ready for prime time. But then they'll flip the script. Okay, we got to go say Black woman is good. And they don't like her because she's a Black woman. And they don't like her because white men don't like strong Black women. It's like, can we get enough of this identity politics? What about they don't like her because she's incompetent? She doesn't know what she's doing. That's a better solution, a better answer rather. And then if she goes, we've got, oh, Nancy Pelosi. Do we really want her? Absolutely not. But this is how the media sell these people to us and we consume it. As we said in the first couple of minutes of the show, you got the Atlantic magazine talking about, oh, Russia disinformation and Hunter Biden. It wasn't news. But a make-believe story about Trump colluding with Russia was news. And we now see that it was fake news. It had no foundation. And they still won't talk about Tony Bobulinski. And only now the New York Times is admitting that Russia, the Hunter Biden story was real. But no one wants to talk about what's on the laptop. And we're hearing, Andrew, it was porn as well as possibly pedophilia, the president's son. And who do we have on the court who's seemingly supporting pedophilia and pornography? None other than Ketanji Brown Jackson, who's supposed to be the greatest thing since sliced bread. And she's going to go on the court and she's going to shape it and she's going to do this. Never mind the fact that you already have women on the courts. Never mind the fact that you have a chief justice. Never mind the fact that you have a black man. Oh no, she's going to go on and she's going to free the black people. I don't think so. I don't think so. We're back to square one where we started. People, wake up. Don't be fooled. Because that's all that's happening right now. They're fooling you. They want you to think what they've done is so great. They want you to think that they've saved you, when in actuality, they have done nothing of the sorts. They just replace one liberal with another liberal who happens to have darker melon. That's it. And I don't know if she's a female or not, because she doesn't know what a woman is, Andrew. So it's anyone's guess. When she wears a skirt, walks like a duck, sounds like a duck, I would say it's a duck. But in these times, you could be wrong. It might be something else. So go figure.
Yeah, well said. And you, if you remember, when she was nominated, a lot of Republicans brought up the fact that she was very easy on pedophilia and pedophiles previously. And you got to have to connect the dots. And you wonder if that could come into play with what's going to happen with Joe Biden's son, Hunter. Thank you all for joining us tonight on After Dark with Rob and Andrew. Check us out and all the other shows over at AmericaOutloud.com, who's coming up on its 6th anniversary. Rob and I are coming up on our 1-year anniversary here at America Out Loud, and we've had a great time. I could not recommend this platform anymore. Very proud to be coming on each and every night for all of you. You can also find America Out Loud on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Pandora, or wherever you download your podcast. Please like and subscribe. We'll see you guys next time. And remember, stand for something or you will fall for nothing.